Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Thank you for choosing Broken Earth Radio Show. Today, we're going to be talking about the Atacama Humanoid and current affairs in the news and some other interesting topics. Let's give us a call today on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. You'd like to give us an update on a previous reading and get interesting stories or knowledge that you'd like to share with us, please give us a call. Bear with me a moment, let me just listen back, make sure the sound's okay before we start the show officially. One moment. Okay, that sounds okay to me. So, please sit back, open your minds, and enjoy the show. Thank you.
Happy Tuesday. I don't know if that song was such a good idea because it's like a lullaby and it just kind of...
Yeah. You probably saw me yawning over here.
You probably saw me yawning.
No, I didn't.
The heck you didn't. I hope everybody's having a pretty decent start of the week after a pretty rough end of the week. Kind of tough all around. What kind of news things do you have to share?
Well, I just want to briefly touch on a popular thing from this week so far. It's the George Zimmerman news feature, you know, that got acquitted. There's riots going on.
They're finally starting to riot.
Yeah, that's right. One person's been arrested, but most of the protests were peaceful. San Francisco and New York. Actually, had a moment of silence in a few places. Nashville, Tennessee. So, yeah. Oh, I don't know whether did you see the, I posted a link in the Broken Earth Facebook page.
I couldn't watch the whole thing. I couldn't watch it. It was so horrible.
Being force-fed like they do at Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
People are hungry, shrink how they force-feed them.
Right.
I think the video is all about, you know, getting it shut down because, you know. But it was pretty horrific. I think he started crying, didn't he, at the end? And I have to go through that twice a day, so you've got to check that out. Make sure you get to the Facebook page and like it and check that video out. It's on YouTube as well, so... Okay. Judges are making life or death decisions about vulnerable people. Based on casual phone consultations with counsel lawyers. It was revealed last night. The secretive court of protection has an out-of-hours service which is being routinely used by local authorities wishing to rush through decisions. In many cases, judgments are handed out over the phone with the family not being consulted and proper evidence not being made available. One judge who was on a trip to a zoo, has even admitted giving a decision on his mobile phone about whether a Jehovah's Witness with learning difficulties should get life-saving treatment. In another case, a judge allowed an Asian woman with learning difficulties to be forcibly removed from a home on the grounds of flimsy evidence that she was going to be forced into marriage. After a few weeks in care, the woman was returned home, but the family sued and were paid thousands of pounds in compensation by local council. Out-of-hours rulings, a system meant to be used only in urgent cases, are being routinely abused, an investigation has revealed. Instead of being subject to open court, judges on call between 4 p.m. and 9 a.m. are consulted over the phone by a single barrister, often without the involvement of families.
Mm.
So, yeah, out for a trip to the zoo. You've got to make a life or death decision for somebody, you just give them a text, you know, instead of going through the proper, it's just, you know, no wonder people are getting away, they should be locked up, and vice versa, people are getting locked up, they shouldn't be. Here's another story. There had only been 8 recorded sightings of the white-throated needletail in the UK since 1846. So when one pops up again on British shores this week, this is actually from a couple of weeks ago, Twitchers were understandably excited. A group of 40 enthusiasts dashed to the Hebrides to catch a glimpse of the brown, black and blue bird, which breeds in Asia and winters in Australia. Australasia. Sorry.
Where is that?
I don't know. I thought someone made a error.
Maybe they did.
It was like Australia crossed with Asia. Anyway, it must be somewhere in between Asia and Australia.
Right.
But instead of being treated to a wildlife spectacle, they were left with a horror show when it flew into a wind turbine and was killed. John March in 62 had made the trip all the way from Norfolk, said, "We were absolutely over the moon to see the bird. We watched it for nearly 2 hours. But while we were watching it, suddenly got a bit close to the turbine and the blades hit it. We all rushed up to the turbine, which took about 5 minutes, hoping that the bird was just been knocked down out of the sky, but was okay. Unfortunately, it had taken a blow to the head and was stone dead. It was really beautiful when it was flying around, graceful with such speed. To suddenly see it fly into a turbine and fall out of the sky was terrible."
Oh my
God. The sighting of the white-throated needletail was 22 years ago. The common swift is said to be capable of flying at an astonishing 106 miles per hour. The bird was thousands of miles off course when it was originally spotted in Northumberland. Before travelling further north, it hadn't reckoned on the wind turbine hazards of the Hebrides when it landed on the Isle of Harris. That's a shame. That's another reason to get rid of wind turbines. It's not
Australasia, I was just looking it up because I thought I had heard of it before, honestly, but it was a restaurant that I heard of, and I just thought maybe it wasn't real. Like, it was a name they'd made up, But anyway, it's a region of Oceania. It's a part of Australia, New Zealand, and New Guinea, and it's neighboring, the Pacific Ocean islands. So, yeah, it's a kind of part of Australia, Asia, like the name says. But that is really sad. That's very sad.
Well, there was a report as well, a couple of years ago, of people who witnessed a UFO crashed into a wind turbine. And sure enough, when it was meant to be investigated, it was all bent out of place. You know, so something definitely hits it. Was it you that posted the link on Facebook about, the unfortunate plane crash recently with Chinese people aboard?
Yeah.
I posted a link showing the some idiots.
The names.
Of the Chinese people online, on the news, wasn't it? On the news.
The news person read it.
I didn't even see it. I just saw a screenshot of it, We Too Low and Something Wong.
Yeah.
I can't say some of the other ones, but, surely they would have known.
Well, she did it. She said it. She read them. And she even read them to the point where she knew not to say the word, the proper pronunciation of Fook.
Right.
So she had to, so she knew to pronounce that Fook, so she knew. She had gone through those names. But she still read them.
Okay.
I posted a thing on the webpage. This Egyptian, 12-year-old Egyptian boy, he's being interviewed about, some sayings, and the statements he was kind of giving in the beginning were very basic, and the way that the interviewer was asking questions, it almost seemed like she was just talking to a little boy. But then when he started talking about, you have to watch it, because when he starts talking about gender stuff, and he starts really, really, really going on and on about it, and just being so passionate about it, and people are cheering him on, and just he really knows what he's talking about. And when I was looking at some of the comments that people were leaving about him, it was kind of what a lot of people don't understand is that the youth in Egypt are angry, and they are, I mean, they're very emotional, and they're very frustrated with the way that the world sees them. And they are very progressive kids. They're very progressive people. And a lot of people just, you know, they kind of clump them together as, I guess, apathetic and just, you know, throw them away to their culture or to the belief system. And it's, and they know what's happening. They, and they really, really want things to be different. But if you think about it, a lot of kids, no matter where they are, they want better. They want different. They want more. But they get eaten up by the adults. And then they just eventually just kind of become whatever, you know, just because it's easier. So these are kids that really, really need to be encouraged and fostered to think and to say, because they really are. I mean, I'm telling you, these kids want things to be different. They want things to be different, and they're angry. And it's not a rarity. It's not a rarity at all, at all. And remember, too, I mean, this is where the world began. So these are not people that are unintelligent. They're just not. But anyway.
I need to watch that. I was meaning to watch that, actually. Now, a lot of the news articles actually didn't make it through to what I wanted to talk about. Some of them today, but I've still got plenty of other things. There's one. There's a woman here. Tell you what. Do you see Cunningham's former occupation, that of warfare specialist in the Royal Navy, must have been coming in rather handy at the moment for the 23-year-old would-be glamour model, has been busy deflecting the... This isn't worded very well. Blah, 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 blah. A single mother of two recently sparked outrage by boasting that she had her breasts increased from a 32A to a 36DD courtesy of the NHS. And made matters worse by announcing casually just 5 months later that she'd like her 5,000 implants removed at a third of the cost of £1,600 because they are attracting too much negative publicity. So that means we've got to use our taxpayers' money to remove these breast implants that she wanted originally. It cost £5,000 that she got on the NHS that we paid for as well.
You know, so many people feel like, you know, like the world owes them something.
Yeah. I was very deserving of my boob job, says Josie, who lives in Leeds. But the problem was I rushed into the decision to have them taken up to 36DD, and I don't feel very confident about them now. Everyone is knocking me, but I want loads more surgery to make me look good. I want people to take me seriously and stop branding me just to deal with the big NHS boobs. She branded herself there, isn't she? It's unfair. Unfair is a word that's been used rather frequently where Josie is concerned. Critics argue that the NHS money used to increase her breast size should have been spent on far more deserving cases. Indeed, it was revealed that just a few miles away from her home in Leeds, 2-year-old cerebral palsy sufferer Oliver Doherty and being turned down for a funding for an operation which could allow him to walk. Thankfully, after reading about his plight in the Daily Mail, generous readers helped to raise the £24,000 needed for Oliver to have his operation privately. Angry members of the public have even created an online petition demanding that Josie pay the money that was spent on surgery back to the state. Josie, however, remains unrepentant, arguing that the operation was justified due to the emotional distress she had suffered as a result of having small breasts. Moreover, she believes she has every right to reverse the boob job again at the taxpayers' expense. I agree that it's disgusting that some people are refused medical treatment, but it's the NHS's decision, not mine, she says. I've paid taxes since I was 15 years old, so I have my mum and dad. We've paid into the system, and my case was not just about cosmetic changes, it was about my peace of mind. Right.
Well, I want some surgeries for some peace of mind.
Yeah.
I want a boob job for some peace of mind. Don't you want a boob job for some peace of mind?
Boob reduction. I believe that, though. I mean, you know, it sounds like she's like, I want more surgery so I can look good. Does that sound like somebody who was, you know, emotionally distressed because she has small boobs?
She's not even thinking. She's just
She's a brain transplant. Now, can we help a little boy walk, or we should do with this woman breasts that she won't want again in a couple of years?
I just don't, I I'm not on the panel making the decision, but I just don't even see why she got approved anyway. Period.
Maybe she was, like, threatening, you know.
Kill herself? I don't know. Well, now she gets to walk around with big boobs, and she gets to see what it's like.
Yeah.
And there you go.
And now we've got to pay to have them removed.
No, I don't.
I've got to pay my taxes again.
I don't think you will.
Most people have experienced the horrible moments when they realize they've just stepped in dog mess, left strewn over the pavements. Now councils across the country are using controversial health and safety posters depicting a toddler eating dog waste next to the words, "Children will put anything in their mouths to get owners to clean up their act." To ram home the message, a second picture of a dog turd is also shown next to a warning for a dog owners to pick up their mess or face a £1,000 fine. Bristol City Council has defended its use of the advert, claiming it has helped reduce incidents of dog owners failing to clean up their animals' mess. A spokeswoman said the idea behind the post is a shock because dog owners not cleaning up after their animals is a shocking thing. Residents have found dog mess, which is very harmful to children in the playgrounds. We have several different posters which local councils and residents associations can pick up from their areas. People were very happy with this poster and the impact it made. We never received any complaints. TV illusionist Darren Brown was one of the first people to bring the unusual poster to light. Reaction by members of the public had been mixed, with some praised the shocking nature of the picture, while others thought it irresponsible. I look at the picture, like some kid with like poop all around her mouth and all over her fingers, and she's like, I'm eating it up. So I'll stick that in the chat room so people can have a look at that beautiful picture there.
Sick. It's gross. Oh my gosh.
And okay. Now I know I choose some weird stories, and this is topped in the story about the pastor the other day. So he's got holy milk in his penis. Now I'm sending kids around, you might want to cover their ears. Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Ready for this headline?
Yes.
Ghost of Jacko, Michael Jackson, bummed my monkey. You ready?
Yes.
He may have been dead for almost 4 years, but Michael Jackson remains pop's most controversial figure and has a reputation for the outlandish grew last night after an outraged pet owner revealed that his monkey had been bummed by the ghost of Michael Jackson. Primate fan Brian Clowes, who along with wife Beryl keeps two macaques at his crew Cheshire home, Cheshire, it's just down the road from me, said, "If I could get my hands on the ghost of Michael Jackson and I wring its perverted otherworldly neck, unfortunately, due to the very nature of ghosts, that would be impossible. But I certainly give it a ruddy good exorcism or something," retired logistics manager Brian, 66, said he was awoken on Monday evening by a ballyhoo from the converted garage where he kept his monkeys, Elspeth and Silas. He said, we normally don't get a peep out of them after dark, but they were howling and screeching, so I went downstairs to have a look. In some ways, I wish I hadn't. I opened the door to the garage, and Silas was being bummed by what I can only describe as sort of glowing shadowy thing. It was obviously a ghost. The spook looked at me, and that's when it hit me. It was Michael Jackson. It was making that bizarre woohoo noise that Jacko used to make. But it suddenly disappeared. It was the most disturbing thing I've ever seen, but I imagine it was more troubling for Silas and his poor monkey bottom. Brian, who admits he'd been drinking a bit on Monday night, said he came to Sunday Sport to warn other monkey owners their pets were at risk of non-consensual buggery by the ghost of Jacko. The attack in Silas would seem to confirm that emotionally retarded sexual oddball Jackson had formed an unnaturally close relationship while alive with his own pet monkey Bubbles. Bumming monkeys is not the only escapade that Jacko's ghost has been getting, but it would appear early this month it was reported during the Jackson's family ongoing $26 billion damage claim trial that Lionel Richie's ex-wife contacted Jacko's spirit. The ghost of the singer it's just ludicrous.
Yeah, I mean, what is it? Does Michael Jackson like youngsters, or does Michael Jackson like monkeys? Because, you know, you don't go back and forth between the two. And you know, he didn't even bother Elsbeth. It was Phyllis the male.
I think a lot of the stuff that was said about him was true, but that's what just looks so ludicrous.
No, I'm just saying anyway.
The image of him walking into that room. Shamona!
Well, I mean,
I think he had been drinking a bit too much there.
Like I said, though, he either likes youngsters or it's going to be monkeys, because if you have taken the time to teach your monkey to satisfy you without peeling you like a banana, you're going to continue. I'm sorry, never mind.
The craziest stories I've read out, and I'm ashamed to say that they're from the same counties.
I believe they're from the same county where you are. That was a good story, and thank you for not telling me that story and holding it in.
No problem. I am so drowsy.
Well, wake up. Let's listen to a great song. We actually have a caller in the queue as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to listen to something. We're going to
play an upbeat song.
Yes, I'm going to bump it up. No, I'm going to
allow some techno. You're going to bump it up, do you say?
I said I'm going to pump it up. I'm trying to figure out what to play.
So you got something like Tech9 or something, or Linkin Park or something, or Korn.
Or something else. Some corns. Hold on, I'm looking to see. What's that one song? And then we're going to take a call. But hold on just a moment. I'm trying to find something that's nice and that can really pick us up. I found something. We'll be right back. This is Broken Earth Radio. Give us a call. The number is 347-215-8421. We'll be back in a moment.
Yeah. Sen kalk demini mikrofon ona get bak şak burada diktafon ona tak kağıt kalem bir de ilham an olacak tak gaz çapı havada düşmana bunu açıklamakalım hadi bu bedoda katlanalım.
Run the gamut on psychology. They can never manage. We do damage with no apology. Pick him up the panic. A little manic cause I gotta be frantic. I'm a gemic cause I'm an oddity. Gobble the track cause like I'm grabbing at mama knockers. Like a papa to papa cause I'm partners with rocker pocket. Give me the chopper. Hip hop and watch him make him rock with a showstopper. Chakras popping off the
worldwide choppers.
If you anybody, you notice it. Tech is the pinnacle, not an identical soul is it. Load a code is the polar. Get wrote it quick and they quoted it. Yo, it explodes the flow. Behold it cause when the motor spit. Hop it here, but here. Never to get free of the rear. Better get just near to me. Ready to get near my heels. Give me the knock and I'm a chopper. He came in and went tomorrow, but I'm a lock it down and hop in the pocket like empanadas. Hit him up and get him up. I ain't done. I ain't did enough. Yeah. Tripping when I rip it. I be the ink when I spit him up. Yeah. Sort of like I was licking up and backing up in the gut. Yeah. Everybody be knowing I be acting up when I bust. Yeah. From Missouri to Canada, I be keeping the stamina. If you never been a fan of the men, plan is unanimous. Can I catch? Yeah. Fuck anybody, take a kilometer. Yeah. Leave him in the dust. Ain't nobody talk when I'm standing up. Yeah. Take a tossle, he's awful. It really be wicked when he be off in the bottle. You with it, you dig it, you never lost it. Apostle, he's thinking to give it the poem, toss it, Picasso. Yeah. Killing everybody off at the motto. And I be the only chopper that's tossing the brothel. You said it's pathetic, my head is off in the taco. I'm spending you better than you in the car, but when I go.
Hang on, maybe this is good at the minimum. I'm just thinking of every killer, my enemy.
What if I ran into you with a pogo stick? How about the top of you rappers? I catch your hoes with knees. With a photo of Jesus and a pair of pamphlet. And I do my rejection like I was playing Hamlet. Kill him a burning neck, internal damage. Too bad I battle, but then I lay back on a hammock. Under an oak tree like I was filling for cans. But instead, I'm filling rappers' heads, making a stammer with. Pick up a 22 and put a bullet inside of a motherfucker from inside a 1987 box. I'm headed up, yeah, headed for bucks. Fuck them all, make them feel my dread like I had a head of locks. Feeling revolt like you had dead shots. When I hop on the fucking beat, then I'm worldwide child. What if I was Tech 9? Stuff the pine, I smoke a beat with Mr. Buster Rhyme. Well, sure, why not? Really don't need to show any more of my cock. But I run across the stadium in a pair of your socks. And a trench coat with a pistol and a watch. And drop a verse before you can focus to read the clocks. American is out of control. Heat it up, beat it up, then I gotta go. But I'm a dog truck to send another load. Beat a pipe and dump a pile of pepper to your throat with an alien hole.
I'm lying.
You wanna devour the pieces of my enemy, cause of cannibalism. Breaking them up in a particle, they get a predicament that be never reversible. Cause a nigga be too versatile, making you nervous. You can never compete with the colonel. I burn you, I'm an immortal, and that's the reason I murder you. Focus on my hocus pocus and make a lick of magic. After I wreck a check, you think you respect a better habit. Cause I'm an anomaly, then I'ma give a lobotomy. To any motherfucker challenging my astronomy. Poppin', I don't stop with the fibers when the flames down. I'm one of the most popular choppers in my name zone. Throwing it up in the air, taking it back. We WWB, if you can't keep up, you're the same, huh? My alien knowledge be making other astronomers work like as ancient as the discovery of paleontology. So play me and I'ma be shining on them haters. I'm finna be using it as energy. Watch your radio and I'ma be like a helicopter when the words fly. Entire families on the way down to your girl die. If I catch you fucking with the most intricate lyricists, don't even try to stop us cause we choppers and we worldwide. And
I'm light years ahead of my peers. Won't stop, you can come bring it right here.
Watch your
case.
And when I'm a dropper, my dude, inevitably is that I'ma be the most incredible dude to ever spit on the record and put it together, my dude. And then he asks, what in the world is you proving when you were ready to best and what the hell is you doing? Well, I'ma be chopping and cutting and breaking and beating and shaking and fucking everything up till I make no further mistaking and busting everything up like a fucking nigga Jamaican and shutting everything up, especially the ones who be hitting, they loving everything until I got them stuttering stupid. You hear him now? Why you gotta try? We already know that you be the nicest, you know I'ma come and kill him, get him, hit him, and finish him, and bang him in the head and diminish him, and then I'll hit him and give him a minimum. You be the coming and killing him. Then he gotta be drilling him. Nigga, they gotta be feeling them. Spitting lithium, see the way a nigga be spilling them and getting them stupid to the point where there's no forgiving them. Hoping you're listening and you're paying attention and you're witnessing the way that I be christening the mic and getting in the zone. I be flattening and packing and people from the front to the back and then got me acting a fool and blacking. Nigga, now I'm home.
I'm light years ahead of my peers. Won't stop, you can come bring it right here.
Can't
slap me, don't come around me. Bow down, I was crowned when they found me.
I'm chopping them, call me Michael Myers in my vicinity. The way you be killing them with rhythm. If you're illegitimate, the yellow will finish any inner. They can make any enemies in the vicinity. got a man cause they know they never can give on me. Whenever they mention me, the hits over. You have a lyrical criminal more dead than the chemical. Check my resume, they say they give me the fit.
When I get a bit of my venom, set up, you can feel me. Dig it up in your brain and bring it a pain. And y'all feel wanna kill me, filling them with their fury. Get up in hurry, you can feel the rhythm coming up with the shit. I'm having a fit and you will never feel me. Y'all for you when I'm on top of you. Work out the drop and you been popping off and hit them up with a bullet to the right. You can look into the eyes, waking the reason. You're feeling and dreaming to find a demon name and saying I'm a worldwide.
Strange music.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com. 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth.
That was one of Bill's favorite artists. He wants to be like him.
That's right.
Musically. Let's talk to Mary Lou. Let's take Mary Lou's call.
Mary Lou.
Mary Lou, who? Mary Lou, this is Nunu and Bill. Good day. How are you doing? What's going
on
with you?
I just have a lot of things going on, and I would just love a reading.
Okay, well, what's kind of, you know, sitting out for the, you know, something that you really want to talk about, dear?
I have some projects going on, and I have a lot of work. I have a lot of proposals and work things in the mix that are up in the air. And they're going in.
And you want to know when some things are going to start coming to fruition, basically.
Or if there's anything I should lean closer towards or stay away from.
Let's see. That we're in now, which is, you know, July, August. This, I mean, it looks like there's supposed to be a lot of things finally coming out now, or just, you know, in this time period here. This week, next week, the week after this is where it looks like there's supposed to be progress. And there's also some sort of partnership with a woman or a female entity that it looks like you're going to have a start with or an agreement on. Does that make any sense at all?
Does that sound like a book proposal?
Well, it's a woman, or it's an entity that's represented with a female's name. So that right there is where it looks like you're supposed to be starting. But it's being revealed to me as some sort of an agreement that's going to allow you to finally progress with it, and that's not this week, but. Or the next week, but the week after that, the week starting like the 30th.
Okay.
And then when we go into August, it looks like there's some other things coming up and there's some money coming to you as well. This place where you are right now is, you know, there's stuff that's finally showing up.
Does it seem like any of the grant proposals I have out will happen? I think there's only one left that
first,
I have.
Well, the first time I see money is it shows up basically like six steps away. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be 6 weeks, It's just that, you know, there's this thing with this woman shows up, then you get started on that, and there's a couple of other cards, and then there's where the money is, right there. But it's supposed to be happening. It's supposed to be happening, you know, probably in the month of August.
Okay. All right. I have to take this call.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, Mary Lou. Have a good
thanks
one.
Thanks for
talking.
I'm sorry I have to cut it short.
Okay.
Bye.
That's okay.
Bye-bye.
Let's take this caller to...
I thought that was your call. Your phone ringing for a moment.
No. It's not. Thank goodness. Because I would have... Well, done nothing, honestly. But let's take the caller at 443, and then I have some funny stuff to say. You know, we need some humor. We need some humor.
I thought I brought enough of that.
Well, that's just your face. But it's fun if you want to describing you.
You're saying I've got a face for radio. I'm interested.
443, this is Broken Earth. How can we help you?
Hi, yeah. Humor is always good. I like humor. So I would like to listen to that. My name is Jessie, and I just have a question regarding kind of I'm turning 31 here in September, and generally around my birthday, things happen. Like, I've been moving, I guess, for the past 3 years. I'm kind of hoping or thinking or wanting to know about this job that I applied to and moving out of where I am currently, what you see forming, I guess, with that.
Share with us this job thing. Tell us about your job that you're interested in.
Sure. It's really awesome. I had an interview. It was a really positive interview. It actually helps and extends with the Obamacare Act. So it's actually in the neighborhood that I grew up in. And essentially I would be either training or continuing to train or teach with education, basically for the community, for those who can't afford health care.
Okay. All right. Can you hold on just a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Hold on just a moment here. I'm sorry about this. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Well, Nuna's just having a look there. Coming up on the show, we've been talking about trigger words for people who've been listening in on you on the phone. And I've also got something coming up about Nikola Tesla as well, his reincarnation as well. So one moment, let's see if Nunu's...
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. As far as your... And I'm really sorry about that. As far as job is concerned... I actually am having some pretty decent ideas about this. I'm just trying to get a time period down for you that, because see here in September, it's actually in September, it looks like this is where you're going to be having your, it's called leaving. Basically, and it does look like you'll be dealing in healthcare, and it also looks like you should be dealing with something where. Are you actually? Let me ask you this: Is this job supposed to have you working from home, or is this something that has
it's
more to do with like
all over.
Management? It's
no,
that,
it's
going to be based out of your home.
It's interesting because it's a lot of the work would be independent work. I would be traveling county to county. Educating. I live in Maryland, so throughout Maryland.
Okay.
A lot of it is, it'd be like not...
Yes, it's happening. Yeah. It's happening. It's going to happen.
Great.
It's going to happen, dear. But like I said, it looks like everything really starts taking off in September. And as far as you moving from where you are, it looks... What I'm seeing is probably... there's a really strange time period. It's almost like I see you having no time to move, except you're still trying to do it at the same time. So it seems like it's happening around November.
Okay.
So whatever you're doing, it's happening probably within the month of October of you actually moving. But it's like, you know, I really see you scrambling and trying to get a lot of help. But yeah, all of this does look like it's something that's going to take off for you and it's going to work. It's going to happen.
That's great.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. I guess I'm getting a little nervous about the time frame, but that makes sense, too, because the grant doesn't start kicking in until October. So the training would probably be, you know, around that time. And then that makes a lot of sense. So that helps. That helps.
Yeah.
Do you have an idea if I'll hear about it earlier than that, though, or?
Everything really feels like it's happening around September.
Okay. All right. That's good enough for me. That's good. Thank you.
All right. Well, good luck, and thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
All right, dear.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'll be right back, Bill, if there's anything that you wanted to start talking about as far as the...
Yeah, well, I think while you're... I mean, I've got quite an extensive section to read about it, so you...
Okay.
Go
off. Okay. Okay. All right.
Bye.
Okay. Play.
All right, I want to talk about the Attic Farmer humanoid. Now, this is a humanoid which is mentioned in the Sirius documentary, which has been released recently by Stephen Greer. Stephen Greer is the guy who's actually a doctor, and he headed the Disclosure Project back in 2001, and he's got sort of the lectures and documentaries out there. Now, this I'm going to read from the Nexus magazine. This is a very good magazine. The world's number one magazine for alternative news, health, future science, and the unexplained. Very interesting. You can actually subscribe to this. My dad actually subscribed to this magazine. But this is information about an alien humanoid which was found, and as mentioned in this documentary. I've yet to watch the documentary myself, but this information certainly sounds interesting. An investigation of the Atacama humanoid. After 6 months of research by a leading scientist at Stanford University, the Atacama humanoid remains a profound mystery. The humanoid was discovered in 2003 in the remote Atacama Desert region of Chile, but I did not learn of the existence of the specimen until 2009, when invited to examine the mummy-like remains of the humanoid in Barcelona, Spain. In the summer of 2012, Ramon Navia Osorio Villa, president of the Instituto de Investigación Estudios Exobiogeológicos, graciously permitted our team to do further tests on the humanoid. We traveled to Barcelona in late September 2012 to obtain detailed X-rays and CAT scans and to take genetic samples for testing at Stanford University. Dr. Gary Nolan, the Ratchford and Carlotta A. Harris Professor in the Department of the Microbiology and Immunology in Sanby University School of Medicine, headed another team examining the human-like specimen. He suggested the protocol for taking the DNA samples and, in consultation with Dr. Rolf Lachman, also Stanford University, suggested precisely which X-rays and CAT scan images will be needed for proper evaluation of the skeletal anomalies. Dr. Lachman, who is a visiting scholar and visiting professor at Stanford University, co-author of Radiology of Syndromes, Metabolic Disorders and Skeletal Dysplasias, and one of the leading experts in the world on skeletal dysplasia and abnormalities, examined the X-rays, CAT scans, and photographs of the humanoid. We obtained excellent DNA material by surgically dissecting the distal ends of two right interior ribs on the humanoid. These clearly contained bone marrow material, as was seen on the dissecting microscope that was brought in for the procedure. The bone marrow and the other material from the skull were obtained under sterile surgical procedures and placed directly into sterile containers provided by Dr. Nolan. Using forensic documentation procedures, this evidence was then hand-delivered to me by Dr. Nolan in Washington. I believe this is probably, Stephen Greer that's written this himself. handed to me by Dr. Nolan in Washington, D.C. in October 2012. Dr. Nolan proceeded to set up a very detailed protocol needed for the examining ancient or old DNA. This is a highly specialized area of research, and the leading scientist in the world with the expertise in this area consulted with Dr. Nolan in this endeavor. Examination of the specimen. The Atacama humanoid is a 13-centimeter or 6-inch body, which is very desiccated but completely intact. The CAT scan sheerly clearly shows internal chest organs, lungs, and what appears to be the remains of the heart structure. See the scan at this place here. However, it refers to any images you can actually go to Disclosure Project. I think you can find links or Serious Disclosure, CSCTI.org, or just search for Stephen Green. There is absolutely no doubt that the specimen is an actual organism and that is not a hoax of any kind. The fact has been confirmed by Dr. Nolan and Dr. Latchman at Stanford. Look at it, doesn't really, I mean, it looks like humanoid, like it says, but it does not look like it's human at all. The specimen has only 10 ribs, a finding not yet observed in humans, and a very unusual cranium. It is noted that the cranial vault is proportionally much larger than is found in normal humans. The bones are quite well developed and are not those of a fetus. There are multiple skeletal anomalies seen throughout the specimen. A mature, not fetal, tooth is seen inside the mandible. A fracture of the right humerus is seen as a concave fracture of the right posterior lateral skull, which was most likely the cause of death. Importantly, Dr. Latchman concluded that the humanoid does not have any known deformity, genetic defect, skeletal dysplasia, or any other known human abnormality. However, the most startling finding to date is that Dr. Latchman concluded that the humanoid lived to be 6 to 8 years of age. This was assessed by examining the epiphyseal plates in the knees and comparing these to normal humans of various ages. Dr. Latchman noted that there is no form of human dwarfism which is the presentation and set of findings. No human is known to be able to live for 6 to 8 years and remain only 13 centimeters long. It should be noticed also that the Dr. Manchon Diagnostic Imaging Center in Barcelona examined the x-rays and concluded this specimen was most certainly not a fetus and had lived for a year or more, probably several years. Previously, there had been false reports publishing everywhere that the humanoid was a fetus. This is clearly not the case, as it can be concluded from the research by Dr. Latchman and the examination by Dr. Manchon. X-rays and scans show a remarkable difference between human fetus skeletal development and a human newborn compared with the skeleton of the Atacama humanoid. So much to read. DNA extraction and
preliminary
analysis. Thank you. Painstaking expert DNA extraction was done by Dr. Nolan at Stanford University. DNA of a very high quality and quantity was successfully extracted and analyzed. One preliminary analysis of the DNA has been done to date, and Dr. Nolan said that it may be a year or more before full manual analysis and confirmation can occur. He noted that DNA was high quality, showing little to no serious degradation. He also noted sequence analysis to definitively rules out the specimen as an example of a new world primate. Importantly, Dr. Nolan reported preliminary results demonstrate no statistically relevance. After me. For the long day. Relevant alteration of the genes encoding proteins commonly associated with known genes for primordial dwarfism. Other form as well. I'm probably losing the listeners now. I would have thought. But in conclusion, there's been some very detailed, in-depth examinations of this creature. I think the conclusion was one moment. Let me just double check what it's said there. Sorry. Do now. Just lost my page. Here we go. Right. It says the X-ray CAT scan and DNA analysis of the mysterious Arctic Army humanoid reveal that is, this is anomalous, anomalous body is a real organism and is not a hoax. Whether it's an alien or a human hybrid is yet to be determined. So, you know, it doesn't look like it's full human, but you can go and have a look at the pictures and check that out for yourself. I believe in the Sirius documentary, it's actually got the dissecting of it and taking one of the eyes out from what I can see on there. But sorry about struggling with my words. I've lost some blood today.
Yeah, he's got
an accident.
He was being awful, and so I had to cut him.
Yeah.
you know, let's there's a couple of things here that I was, you know, reading on over the past couple of days that I thought were very interesting, to say the least. You know, there's I'm not going to, you know, talk about it too much because it's something that I know is overly talked about, and people are extremely exhausted with the emotional intensity of it. The George Zimmerman and the Trayvon Martin debacle. But there are five celebrities that we adore that we forget they did horrible things. You know, Jimmy Page, if a lot of you guys don't remember, or some people may not even know, actually kidnapped a 14-year-old girl and kept her hostage for years. Eventually, she was just kind of there because of Stockholm Syndrome, probably. But he kidnapped her. He stole her from a club. And just basically did whatever he did to her for years and years and years and years and kept her locked up. So, I mean, he is someone that we adore for his guitar. And, you know, he's Jimmy Page. He's, you know, from that tiny little rinky-dink band Led Zeppelin. So, but, you know, there you go. Motley Crue's lead singer killed someone while drunk driving. He left Vince Neil, was having a party at his house, and it was the third day, and he went to the liquor store, and you know what happened next. And people forgot about it. They just forgot about it. Sean Penn has, you know, he's in, you know, this day and age, he's, you know, a civil rights activist, and he's always talking about something and doing something. But he tied up and beat the crap out of Madonna when they were married back in the 80s. I mean,
it's probably some sort of sex game. She looks like she's into that kind of thing, really.
Well, he literally treated her like a pinata.
Did he get any sweets?
What now? And check cookies and candy and stuff fall out? It's Charles Dickens. You know, the author Charles Dickens. He had 10 kids with his wife, and he was very nice to her, but then she got fat, which is going to happen after a bunch of kids, or maybe one, or just depending on your metabolism. He basically got a mistress that was very young, but he started insulting her and basically, you know, doing some things to her in front of the kids.
Right.
And so that's just, you know, it's you know, but he basically said it was because of what she turned into. And Eric Clapton, well, this is something that kind of seems like it's more of a, I mean, it's something that you really have to kind of really, maybe your opinion about him, but he was very, very, very openly racist. So, but anyway,
I'm pretty sure I heard him singing one day from my back garden, not just randomly stalking around people's houses, but you think he was playing Chester Racecourse or something?
Right.
Here, from my back garden. But, I've heard Justin Bieber. He killed. he's turning into right little bastard.
He is turning into.
I just saw something recently where apparently he spat in the face of a DJ at some club. He tried to punch some photographer. I saw the actual, video footage of that. He makes his fans wait for hours on end, and some people have to miss it because they're only kids and they've got to go home.
Justin Bieber. And here's some funny
stuff. Got Bieber fever.
Are you a believer, Bill?
Yeah, I got Bieber fever, right?
Well, some funny stuff about Samuel L. Jackson. This guy is incredibly intimidating. He has a clause that's written into all of his movie contracts that he has to have 2 days off a week to play golf. And, doesn't seem like such a big deal. But because he's going to get his. But, for a lot of people, they're just grateful to be in movies. But he's like, he has to have his time off to do his thing, which it's all good to me. But he threatened to boycott the movie Snakes on a Plane when they tried to change the title of the plane to Pacific Flight 121. So, the only reason a lot of people saw that movie was because it was called Snakes on a Plane. So he
And he was fed up of those damn snakes on that damn plane. I watched that not too long ago. I only saw that probably about 4 or 5 months ago. I won't be going back to watch it again.
We're not going to watch it?
No, okay. I thought you'd seen it. Have you seen
it?
I
have seen it, but I'm just...
I know what happens. it didn't seem like a film you should have been in, really.
Well, it's Samuel L. Jackson. He also...
Some stuff is all right, but...
Go on.
Mostly I was watching Pulp Fiction, tried to watch Pulp Fiction in the case. I'm not a very big fan of Tarantino. But I was trying to watch Pulp Fiction again. It's the point where Samuel L. Jackson was ranting on about Burger. I had to turn it off, and I was just like, I'm with it. I hate the way he jumped back and through time and stuff. It's like, I'm going to show the end at the beginning, the middle at the end. And, anyway, go on.
You don't like Quentin Tarantino, do you?
I like time travel movies, but not the way Tarantino does them, by jumping all over the place.
Okay. Now, he requested a purple lightsaber in Star Wars because he wanted to be able to spot himself in Fight Scene.
What?
He wanted to be able to spot himself in fight scenes.
I remember that. Yeah, he requested that. I remember.
And he will also, on Twitter, I'm not going to read the tweet, any of the tweets that he's done to come after people, but he will go after people on Twitter, and if you respond back, he'll come after you even harder, which pretty much probably makes people come after him because they want to be insulted by Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
He also, in one of the interviews for Django Unchained, he refused to answer a question unless the interviewer said which N-word he was quoting. The guy was like saying the N-word, and he was like, what N-word? No? Nope? None? He did what a lot of people actually want to do when people use the N-word as a word itself. We had that conversation a couple of weeks ago, how it's just as bad as saying it because you're making people say it in their head. He also doesn't care about being nominated for things if he doesn't win. So if he's like it's never an honor to be nominated, he just wants to win. Also, speaking of him winning, the Cannes Film Festival created the category of Best Supporting Actor just so they could give him an award in Jungle Fever in 1991. So that's now a thing. And he was also an usher at Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral.
Martin Luther King
Jr. He is pretty awesome. Let me tell you one last thing real quick, just one last thing. He's the highest grossing actor in the history of all time. He's earned $7.42 billion in 68 films. And there you go. But anyway, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, talking about Martin Luther King, Lillian Sinclair. I saw something somewhere briefly I was going to look into, but he said, did you know that Martin Luther King's family went to a court case and they proved that the government had killed him, but no one really ever heard about it?
I didn't hear anything about it.
No, I saw something. I've read it somewhere, and I need to do some investigation into that. Also, so another thing I'll be doing is some investigation into, and probably talking about next week, is somebody who claims to be the reincarnation of Nikola Tesla.
I want to hear about that one.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that next week. That's what I'm saying. I said next week we'll be. You know when I said next week we'll be talking about it? That means we'll be talking about it next week.
I missed the part about next week.
Because you were playing Tetris and Minesweep. I only heard about it yesterday. So
I was saying Othello, thank you very much. Anyway.
All right. Okay. Now, this is about a year old, this article, but the latest blacklist of words our government uses when they are scanning your emails, text messages, and have their computers listening during your phone calls has just become public. If you say the following words, you're going to be flagged and listened to. Make sure you're not a threat. Do you want to hear some of the words?
Yeah.
Under category, so no doubt they'll be listening. Domestic security. Assassination. Attack. Domestic security. Drill. Exercise. Cops. Law enforcement. Authorities. Dirty bomb. Shooting. Shots fired. Evacuation. SWAT. Lockdown. Riot. Here's some other ones further down. There's quite a few here. Terrorism ones. Terrorism. Al-Qaeda. Terror, attack, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, target, conventional weapon, dirty bomb, jihad, car bomb, Taliban, Nigeria, radicals. So all these words are ones that are going to trigger the government to listen to what you're saying. When I'm on the phone to my dad, you know, there are ways of determining, you know, how... if there's somebody listening on the phone line, because you tend to get clicks and anomalies on the phone line that you don't normally hear. And I had that recently when I was talking to my dad on the phone about the UFO sighting that I was filling in for the Rich Hall, Rich Planet website, and then a helicopter appears. But you get clicks and stuff like that. So what me and my dad do is when we're talking about something controversial and we think, you know, it might someone might be listening, we just start saying sort of bombs, reptilians, you know, stuff. Just because, and I said to my dad today, I said, do you think somebody sat there going, oh God, it's the 1:15 phone call again, we have to listen to all this crap. They said pretty good words, and they know that we're going to have to listen in. Do you remember that time that we were talking on Skype and then you started talking Spanish and then some bloke came in talking Spanish in the middle of our conversation?
Yes.
Do you remember that? How crazy was that? It just was a private call and some bloke was like replying and was coming through in Spanish. What was that all about? How does that even happen?
I don't know.
I was like, who the hell is that? But this list goes on. It's a big list there of all these trigger words. So they're probably listening in right now.
They're listening because we're talking about trigger words. Trigger words. Well, anyway.
I just
to say that if you hear an echo, if you're hearing an echo, then in your phone conversation, then you're being recorded.
Well, you know, I had to get rid of my old phone because it messed up, but that used to have a lot of problems. It was really strange for my old phone. It was a W880 or something, slide open phone, and the phone would be sat there. To unlock the phone, you'd have to press a combination of two or three buttons to unlock the phone. And if you wanted to take a picture, you'd have to go to camera, select the camera button, and press another button to take a photo. Well, my phone constantly, well, I don't know, it used to go through moments where it would unlock itself, combination of a few buttons, it would open the camera and start taking photos. And it couldn't have just been a fault because it actually unlocked the phone with that combination of keys you're supposed to press, open the camera and start taking random photos of what was going on. And people used to call me and the phone would not ring. It would just answer straight away so you could hear what was going on without any indication that anybody was listening in. And people used to say, were you listening, watching this on TV or something? I was like, yeah, how do you know? I said, I could have just called your phone. You know, like if I just met somebody outside.
Wow.
And they say, I rang your phone, and it was answered, and I could hear what was going on in the room. And it doesn't light up, didn't do anything at all. It just answered the call with no indication that somebody would be listening in to me on my phone.
Crazy.
And then it would just start unlocking itself and taking random pictures.
It was on.
I don't have that phone anymore.
It was haunted.
But then again, when I'm doing something like I am, I was controversial talk. And, you know, they're going to be onto me. Bombs.
Let's listen to something. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. This is Nunu and Bill, of course. And our number, if anybody wants to call in because our lines are open, is 347-215-8421. It's kind of a slow day. Feeling kind of slow, too.
Yes. Yes.
Feeling kind of down and poopy.
Like I said, it wasn't you that you were cutting me before. I did actually injure myself today. I was bleeding everywhere from my arm.
Yeah, I was having bad dreams about that.
Wait, why? What happened?
In my dreams about you being cut?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I had a dream after our morning call or lunchtime call because I dozed back off. And I had a dream that we were in the Fast and the Furious movie.
Tokyo Drift, to be specific.
We were in Tokyo Drift, but it was my mind's rendition of Tokyo Drift, and we were bikers. We were actually.
Which you haven't seen because.
Right, we were on motorcycles, and so we were Tokyo drifting on the motorcycles or whatever. And I didn't have a helmet on, and you didn't have a helmet on either. But I was like, we were riding different bikes, and then something happened, and like you were. You had hurt your arm, like you hurt your arm at work today, but in my dream you kept cutting it. Every time you were driving past cars, there would be like a truck with pipes hanging out or, you know what I mean, something, and you just kept cutting your arm and it just cut off and it landed in my bike and it was just crazy. It was just gory. It was just gory. It was just a bad, gory dream.
Well, you know, there's actually a film which is like Fast and the Furious, I guess you could say, on bikes. It's called Torque, T-O-R-Q-U-E. Don't bother watching it.
I think I've seen it. No, maybe I haven't.
Thing about
maybe
it.
I've seen just the ad for Torque. I can't remember. Wasn't the guy called
the only good thing.
Anyway.
So the only good thing about it is that Static X playing the soundtrack, but other than that, it wasn't very good. It's like they spent a lot of money on the film, but it was just lousy.
Right.
Anyway, let's go with another song.
Okay, we're going to listen to a couple of songs. And, you know, everybody, grab your drink, grab your tea, grab whatever. Liliana, thank you for listening. Thank you. And we'll be back. This is Broken Earth Radio.
Hello, welcome back to the Broken Earth Radio Show. I'm Bill. Here as always, and there's Nunu.
Hello.
So I was reading something, like some of the articles I did have lined up for today. One of them's I'm going to have to recall it from memory, but there was some guy who is giving a lift to some young girl. She's about 19 or something, she'll say, a young woman. She was black, if that makes a difference, maybe it will towards the end of the story. But anyway, got a taxi, and she said, I haven't got any money, and, you know, to pay for the fare. But she said, if you take me to the cash point first, I'll get you your money out. It's like 25 quid or something for the taxi journey. So he parked up, took to the town centre, you know, after this long journey or whatever, and she got out to go and get the money. Anyway, she started trying to run away. So he grabbed her and they had a citizen's arrest because she wouldn't pay for the fare. And people started coming up saying, let go of her, what are you doing? You know, and trying to get him off her. And people were like, thought he was attacking this girl or something, you know. But in fact, she hadn't paid for the fare. You know, I don't know what happened in the end, but if it had been the other way around, you know, with like some girl grabbing a man, and you know, get it. I don't know, it just seems like a twisted society. It's like, shouldn't pay for a fare, and everybody's like trying to get him off. Get off her, what are you doing?
Right.
Well, in fact, people
think the worst of each other constantly.
She was in the wrong, kidding.
I wonder if there's a better way that he could have handled that.
Could have been, but you know, it's just people see somebody grabbing hold of some girl, and they automatically think that you know, he's the one that's in the wrong.
Right. Wow.
It's I said I did have plenty of other articles, but they got lost in translation. There is one here.
Okay.
Hold on a second. There seems to be banging coming from somewhere. Sorry, one moment. So, anyway, sorry about that.
Okay.
A woman who made a string of false rape allegations against 5 men in 8 years was behind bars last night. Leanne Black, 32, repeatedly tried rape with the bogus sex assaults reports to the police after rowing or breaking up with her former partners. In one case, Black claimed she'd been drugged and raped. Another, she told police a boyfriend kidnapped and molested her. Of course, that her innocent partners would have faced up to 5 years in jail if they'd been found guilty of such serious sexual allegations. However, Black was herself jailed for 2 years, with the judge condemning her actions, telling her that genuine rape victims would be undermined by her lies. The court heard that in the most recent case in March, her boyfriend, Kevin Rowley, was held on suspicion of rape after he'd called police to report she had thrown plates at him in their flat. So there you go, it goes on, but, you know, makes all these false allegations.
Right.
Saying that she'd been raped.
I can't stand that. I just can't stand people that, I mean, I'm not the individuals. I just can't stand the, you know, when people get to a place where I just don't like it. I don't like people that, or the incidents of that. I'm just going to put it that way because sometimes we're... I was just going to say that sometimes we could be pushed into situations where we feel like we have to lie for some reason. But it's, you know, there's so many people out there that have been... I say this term comically, legitimately, right? There's so many people that have actually had bad things happen to them that it's just not funny it's not cool. It's just not cool to pretend. It's just not cool. It's not.
Somebody got some goodies over there opening up packages?
Yes.
There you go.
We got candles. Lots and lots of candles for work for manifesting and for meditation. And somebody was good, and so he was rewarded with a basketball game, and he said thank you.
Right, that's what I'm here for.
Anyway.
Evidence of cocaine has been found inside a toilet inside the House of Parliament, including some just yards from the MP's office. Traces of the Class A drug were found in 9 toilets throughout the Palace of Westminster, the meeting place of the UK political elite. The powder was detected in toilets used by guests at the Parliament bars, as well as cubicles a few yards away from the MP's office, areas where members of the public are restricted from going. There's a picture here of David Cameron sat there with all powder around his nose going, what about the poor? Let them snort baking soda. Yeah, it's true. That is something as well. I think probably next week, along with the talk about Nikola Tesla's work.
Right.
Also, I talk about the pineal gland, I think.
Oh, really?
Third eye. Yeah, I think we should probably talk about that as well. here's some handy news for you to say.
Okay.
Passengers on an 11-hour United Airlines flight were outraged when the plane ran out of toilet paper during the journey. Flight 931 was on its way from San Francisco to London on June 16th. My crew made the unfortunate discovery. Their response, however, was sent. They sent the story viral. A flight crew, apparently without irony, placed napkins in the bathroom's makeshift solutions. The brand of napkins read, "Fly by the tips of your fingers." It says on the napkins.
Fly by the tips of your fingers. what we do with a lot of what we do a lot of manifestation work, and I have been looking for something to charge up, stones, rings, stuff like that to charge up for people, so that when we do the work and then I send them, something for them to focus on and something for them to have to manifest with themselves. And I just got some of the stuff that I have been, kind of exploring there's some really nice rings. I got some really nice rings to charge. So that's going to be nice. So when people are going to be really happy. People are going to be very happy when we work together on things and then we charge up rocks and stones and stuff like that. There's some really nice rings that showed up. So thought that was something nice out there to share for anyone who's listening or anybody who might be listening in the archives. Who's requested work done? It's going to be.
Shall we play a song? Come back in a moment.
Yeah, we'll play a song, and we also we had some callers waiting, but they had to go. But we'll play a song. I'm trying to see. Today is actually kind of nice. I like the relaxed pace because last week was so hectic. It was so incredibly hectic.
Plus, it keeps the listeners engaged and having a problem.
Yeah.
It's relaxed.
Is there anything that you wanted to hear in particular?
No, I mean, I guess a Skin to Bone, Linkin Park, if you got that there, because that's a good tune.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Broken Earth. Our lines are open, 347-215-8421.
Yeah.
And we're back. We have a call.
Let's bring it on.
Let's do this. We're going to talk to the caller at 717-717. This is Broken Earth Radio. How can we help you today?
Hi, I'd like it's a relationship reading, if I may have one.
Okay, what's your question, dear? And also, real quickly, too, what's your name?
Oh, yes. My name is Erica.
It's nice to talk to you, Erica. What's your question, sweetheart?
Okay. My ex and I, we have 3 children together, and ever since about a year ago, he met someone and became extremely distant with the kids. The weirdest part is a month before he started dating this particular person, he tried to reconcile with me. We were separated already 7 years. He tried to reconcile with me, and it's just kind of confusing how you try to reconcile with me, and then a month later you jump to someone else. So I'm wondering what's that about. It's weird, that and the idea that he's distant from the kiddies.
Okay, which thing do you want to talk about, his distance to the kids or about you?
His distance with the kids.
Okay.
His name is Ronaldo.
You know, Erica, when I'm listening to what I'm getting off of this, there's something... There's quite a few things going on here. There's a part of him that is trying to become a part of this new person's life, and so he's alienating the past life, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's divided things in half. And I'm also hearing that you know, there's a lot of anger and frustration with you, and so he's having a hard time reconciling the difference between being a father and actually being with you. I hope that makes sense without me having to over-explain it. Now, I'm not seeing the way he's being a forever thing. I'm actually picking up that around Halloween, Thanksgiving, around holidays, the holidays this year, is where I see him attempting to make some sort of repair. Now, though, we've reached a point where we've got to kind of deal with your behavior with that information. You're angry at him for a lot of things, and remember, I'm just telling you what I see, dear, and this is never going to be beat you up time or anything like that, okay?
No,
but
that's cool.
I kind of see you having problems with him trying to be a better father, and there's never going to be a point that's good enough for you.
But, you know, I have a problem with inconsistency. The inconsistency I have a problem with, because I told him while we were getting along, I said, well, you know, you can still date, and you just have to tell him the kids come first. So when it's your time with the kids, it's your time with the kids. So for the first 6 months he was dating her, he says, well, I need to get to know her, so I'll see the kids when I'm ready. So for the first 6 months he was dating her, he has zero to do with the kids, and that ticked me off.
Right, because well, the thing is, though, this is the deal. This is where I want you just to listen to what I say and just take note and then do with what you will with the information, okay? He's going to try to be better. And you're going to be, I'm seeing you not wanting him to be better because of what the mistakes that he already made. Remember, there's no book. There's books, but there's no book about your relationships with him and his with them and that sort of thing. So the way that if you really, really, really want things to improve with him and the kids, you're just going to have to let him do it or try to do it and not try to remind him of the mistake he made. Or it's going to perpetuate around and around and around in circles. I really see that. I see this going on for a long time until you can, and I remember as parents, we have this way of wanting to, we feel for our kids. I mean, if you remember your first child ever getting shots and how, and them drawing blood and the tears and the crying that were coming from you, you know, because we mm-hmm. feel our children's pain. We just do that. So basically, it's like he's going to have a hard time being a better father if you don't let him, because you're not letting him you're not relinquishing him from the mistakes that he's made already.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Everything you said sounds good. It makes sense. It resonates with me. Everything.
Okay.
You said, I just hope that this girl that he's with is not an, interfering.
No, it's him. He's doing it. It's him. I see him mm-hmm. doing it. He's trying to do this thing where, because see, I see him actually trying to be this, you know, man that is, you know, beyond incredible for her. And so he's the one that's been making her number one. But the thing is, and I'm going to tell you this, in theory, he's doing the right thing. However, he's doing the right thing at the wrong time. Like, he should have been doing this for you. He should. It's like one of the reasons that people tell us not to have kids with other people and, you know, and all that stuff that people say, and we feel like they're preaching at us, is because they're like, you should have kids with one person, be with that one person, make things work with that one person, you know, just that. But that's not what happens. We have kids with somebody, we divorce them, we break up, we try to have new relationships. And so he's really, really trying to make her number one because he knows he should be making the woman number one, but he's got kids that came before her. And so now he's got this thing that's torn down the middle. So he's doing the right thing, but he's doing it at the wrong time. Now it's different. Now it's more complicated because there's kids involved, and the kids really should come before himself. You see what
right.
I mean? It becomes so complicated now, and that's what happens in a lot of our relationships. But I also realize that if we let ourselves fall apart, then the whole family falls apart. I realize
True.
That if we... As roadies and our kids are the show, if the roadies aren't together, then the show doesn't go on. I mean, I get that as well. So it's like there's the dynamic that he's dealing with, he's literally darned if he does, he's darned if he doesn't. He's making her an important person and the most important thing. So that's awesome for her. But the thing is about what about these kids? They're really
mm-hmm.
feeling like poop. And not only that,
mm-hmm.
though, they see your reaction, and kids are not ever going to be okay if mama's not okay. And so you've got all these different personalities and all these different relationship tiers happening at one time. So that's why what I'm seeing is if you don't let him be whoever he's trying to be, if you can't work through the forgiveness process, he's just never going to be a good dad for them. It's just never, ever, ever going to happen. And I'm not trying to say it's all your fault, because you want him to be accountable for stuff he's done in the past, but the thing is it's just going to go around and around and around and around
mm-hmm.
and around in circles.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people that suffer are the kids.
You know it.
You
know it. You can't
tell him that because he's going to run away from you.
No, you're right. You're right. I sent him a certified mail saying, you know, we really need to co-parent. You know, you should call more often, blah, blah, blah. My daughter's recital was June 15th, in which he didn't go because he was proposing to his girlfriend. And I was like, that is so wrong and so hurtful, you know, to her. So I made up a little bit of a white lie. And I said, well, you know, I think, you know, something came up with his job just to make it, you know, be a little bit better because she's 7 years old. I think something came up with his job. But inside, I was burning because that's a no-no. I mean, she's only going to be 7 once. You know what I mean? So that kind of burnt me up, and it's just I'm angry at him. I am. That's not on her. But I also see
right.
that she seems like a really nice woman. You know, she's young. She's way younger than him. There's like a 14-year difference. So she's in her 20s. So I see it sometimes as with her kind of young and dumb. I hope she'll open her eyes and see things for what they are, because they're not, you know, picket fence pink house, you know.
Well, the thing is though he's trying to create the picket fence for her. So it's like anything. Remember, everybody wants women to be crazy. It's all get out. They want us to be nuts. They want us to look like lunatics. So you've got to just basically do everything you possibly can for your kids to see you being consistent and for them to not see you being nuts, so to speak. And let him trip over his own feet and do whatever he needs to do at some point, you know, to make things okay for them. And I understand that you told your daughter what you told her because you needed her to feel like she wasn't being neglected or being alienated, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But for now on, if he wants to see them, if he wants to spend time with them, if he wants to bring them gifts, if he wants to do that stuff, you know, I would just, you know, as a seer, just because you want him to still be able to spend time with them and them to feel like they're getting time with their dad, but you don't want, you know where I'm, what I'm saying without me having
Right. No, right. The doors are open.
Yeah, give him some moments, but I wouldn't give, I mean, you know, it's like let him see them for the afternoon, let him take them out to eat and, you know, do things like that. And just, you could take them out to eat. I'm not going to interfere with that. But you're just not going to give him anything more than what he really is supposed to have until he goes through the process of getting it himself.
Right, exactly.
And just keep it very simple.
Exactly.
Don't yell at him for doing what he's done, but just, you know, I'd like to see the kids. Well, they really like Chuck E. Cheese, and, you know, but they need to be back by 4, and you can see them tomorrow at noon. And give him that, you know, and just kind of just, you know, keep it real simple until he does whatever he needs to do to earn more time or whatever.
I shouldn't try to force him. You're saying I shouldn't try to force him.
You can't. Never, don't try to force him to do anything. And I'm going to tell you something else. A lot of the women that I talk to that have these situations where they really, really wish the guy would do more are angry when he tries to do more to the extent of, like, you know, they get into these fights and they start saying, well, I'm going to take custody, and they get into these crazy fights, and it just turns into this thing where it becomes a hassle. Be grateful that you have all the control. Be grateful that you have all that control, and then you can dole out little bits. And when he goes through the process of getting more time and having to pay to see them and all that kind of stuff, he can do that on his own. But in the meantime, you just be grateful that you have the control and see things from that way, as opposed to somebody trying to, you know, jump in and interfere and even, like, proclaim, you know, because I know he's going to do that. There's going to be a point where he's acting like he's holier than thou. Because he's already kind of acting that way.
He's always been
that
way.
He's really going to be doing that.
He's really
going to start doing that. And so just be glad he's not around much. Seriously, I'm telling you, there's so much more to this that is actually good for you than you realize. Because you have all the control. That means they're growing up the way you want them to. They're learning the things that you want them to learn. And with him just kind of coming around sometimes, you know, it's better in the long run for consistency from your side. Okay?
I never thought of it that way, and what you said makes so much sense, that sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily what you want equals to what you need, and that's probably what you said. That's a good idea, because I provide the consistency and the what have you, and, you know,
right.
I just also hope that the kids don't get confused with the idea of this new woman, stepmommy games or whatever, because I don't know where that's going.
You, sweetheart, don't let them get confused, because I'm telling you, they're learning what they need to feel off of you, off of you. So if you just act like you don't give a crap, oh, he's dating some girl and they're probably going to get married, whatever, and then start talking about cooking or whatever, that's how they'll deal with it, seriously. And I know that they're going to be, well, he was cool, and then he did this. Well, you know what? He was cool, and then he went to go do that. But right now, you know, we're sewing up pants, legs, so hand me those pins. You know, you just focus on that stuff and just don't let them dwell too much, and they won't dwell. they're still mm-hmm. at an age where they're not going to dwell if you don't. But if you're crying and you're bawling and it's a tragedy, they're going to see all this stuff that's horrible, and then they're going to feel like they have to hide things from you when they get time with him, and they're going to, you know, they're going to kind of grow up paranoid. I'm telling you, they're learning from you. They're learning it from
you. That makes
sense. I'm glad to meet you, Erica, and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much. You have a blessed one.
You too, dear. You too.
Bye.
Well, it's about time for the show to be over. If anybody wants to get in touch with us on Facebook, it's Broken Earth Radio Show on Facebook. Or you can also find me on Facebook under Psychic Nunu. You can reach Bill both ways as well. And if you want to write him privately for some healing, if you wanted some distance healing, or if there's anything that you want to talk about that might be more along the lines of paranormal, you know, just all of that good stuff, you can reach him at BillDoyle@live.com. That's BillDoyle@live.com. We're here every Tuesday between 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. UK.
UK. You know, I'm pretty sure Eden's hanging around very impatiently for that laptop. You should say out loud to him, what, we're doing an extended show, a four-hour show, and see what happens.
We're going to do an extended four-hour show today, so, you know, we'll be on until about 8 o'clock tonight. What's he doing?
No, I can just see her foot. That's about it.
She's not falling for it.
Damn it.
See how badly we treat her. We're supposed to love her, and we're treating her like this. But anyway.
She's
probably not even listening. She's totally not even paying any attention. But what are we going to be talking about again next week?
We're going to talk about the reincarnation of Nikola Tesla. Also, the pineal gland.
She's saying, you guys are talking about me?
we're doing it. Go on, tell her now.
Oh my gosh.
You need to tell her.
What now?
You should have said it then.
Reincarnation Nikola Tesla.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be other interesting things and probably even more ludicrous headlines that I think we'll find.
And we'll be more hopefully, pepped up. You know. We'll be more pepped up. It's just that Bill's lost a lot of blood today. And I apparently I'm too zoned into you because I feel like I've lost my leg or something.
You haven't got a leg to stand on. Obviously, you know, we like to try and make things fun on the show, but we always like to open people's minds and give you knowledge which is needed. So that's why we're here. That's why we do it. We want to make the world a better place. So
or
we
something.
Continue to do what we do. At a loss, you know, but that's why we do it.
At a loss.
At a financial loss.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and we're going to close out the show not with the Desert Dorada because we don't have enough time. But I think we'll close it out with oh my gosh. Why is my brain not working right? Let's do
good 2 minutes short song, maybe.
Yeah, we'll do this one. Okay. All right. See you guys soon. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.